We return to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and we'll be looking at verses 5 through 12 this evening. Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12. Hear now the word of God, and hear now the very words of the incarnate God, Jesus Christ. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. May God give us understanding of what he intends to be understood in these scriptures. There is great danger in misunderstanding. There's great danger in being directed away by false teachings that are presented in by wolves in sheep's clothing, as Jesus warns earlier in the gospel. Many who would want to direct you a certain way with a certain teaching and make it look good on the outside, but it's actually very dangerous to be persuaded by them and to be following their way of thinking. Jesus warns against adopting the teaching of false pretense by false prophets because it is an infectious influence. I'll say that again, the general idea of the text. Jesus warns against adopting the teachings of false pretense because it is an infectious influence. Often the false teaching will come in the form of those dressed in the robes of seminary professors. There's a lot of people presenting themselves as particularly qualified with certain degrees or certain experiences and backgrounds, but they will teach you false doctrine. How many times do we find ourselves scratching our head? And this is not to say there's no place for seminaries. As you know, I'm seminary educated, and we've had a seminary professor and come and minister the word to us for several years now. We're very grateful, but there is a danger. There are many places where people are masquerading as teachers of the Word of God, and they're just teaching false things. They're teaching Jesus is not God. Really nothing new, but they're under the guise of Christianity and Christian seminaries, Christian churches, because they hide behind some kind of degree or tradition or experience. It's very difficult not to be infected by that. And you have to pay attention, you see. You have to look past the degree, you have to look past the robe, you have to look past all of the PhDs at the end of someone's name. And that's not, again, to despise or look down on such necessarily, but you have to look past that to the Word of God. You have to look past and see what does the Word of God say. And you have to pay attention to avoid infection. Because as you know, if you get infection, there can be great danger of dying. And I submit to you tonight this message. The sermon point is this: pay attention to avoid infection. Pay attention to avoid infection. First of all, pay attention to what Jesus says so you have his heavenly effect. Pay attention to what Jesus says so you have his heavenly effect. Here's the danger. When you are physically hungry and when you are fearful about what might happen, you can take your eyes off Jesus, just like Peter did after he was walking on water looking at Jesus. And so quickly he got fearful looking around at the storm and he began to sink. And the only remedy, the only thing that saved him was to get his eyes back on Jesus and cry out, Lord, save me. But when, you know, you can have just simple physical needs for a while, being hungry. It's amazing how certain people, when they're just a little bit hungry, they act as if they've been in a famine. Now, there's even a call in Scripture for fasting, and I can't say that I've done it nearly enough. But we can let the littlest things make us so irritable and make us so distracted that we can't listen. Probably the bigger problem is we get so fearful, the opposite of faith. We let fear take over us. We worry about the moment, and we can't remember how many times God has provided in the past for us. And we can't really look ahead and trust that He will at this moment, let alone the future. And we ignore the fact that in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, don't worry, don't be anxious, because that's sin. You see, when you're distracted for physical food and with worry about what might not appear to be there at the moment, you can be, when you're distracted by those things, you're distracted from good spiritual food. You tend not to eat and drink of the Word of God. We can tend to skip church. We can tend to skip the means of grace, the very things we need to help us. Verses 5 and 7 through 11, the disciples are missing the point, which I don't know about you, but when I read it, I think to myself, how did they miss the point? But just put yourself in their moment and think about, really, would it have been so hard for you to miss the point? They miss the point entirely. This is an object lesson. Jesus points to the bread that they're worried about. He perceives their worry about what they don't say, but He points to the bread and He warns them. He says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But they were completely missing His point. Why? Due to fear of not having enough bread. Notice Jesus perceives, verse 8, He perceives. He knows what they're thinking, just as He knew what the Pharisees were thinking earlier and sometimes would address what they are thinking but what they didn't say. He's saying, look, stop worrying about the fact that you don't have a lot of bread with you. Yes, you should have brought bread, but why would you worry that you don't have enough? Hello? Twice I have fed thousands with just a little. And why would you worry about bread right now? I'm right in your midst. Why would you worry about that? And so they're missing His point. He's using this object lesson. We understand an object lesson. He's pointing to the bread and He's saying, watch out for the leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is what is used to raise up, it's yeast, it's what raises up the dough and helps make bread, helps rise the dough and be ready to cook. He's saying, watch out for that. Maybe partly, some suggest they're thinking that Jesus is warning about bread they might have bought from the scribes and from the Pharisees and Sadducees because they have very strict rules, almost like maybe buying kosher food in the store today, perhaps. Maybe they're thinking that's all He's talking about. It would seem that Jesus is recognizing you're in danger of going after these kinds of things when you're fearful and when you're starting to worry about what you don't have. And He's saying, watch out. Maybe He's saying, watch out the way you're acting right now and the way you're thinking right now, because you got to be careful. You're not going to start reflecting the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because all they were worried about was the moment and losing what they had. Here's the thing, beloved. If the disciples can miss the point of Jesus' message when He is right in their presence, be careful that you pay attention to the sermon. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, was just speaking an easy object lesson and they missed it because of worry and a lack of things. And because they couldn't remember just a little while ago when He had provided for them miraculously. Then you are in great danger of missing the point of this message because you're worrying about something right now that you ought not to. And I'm the same. I promise you, there are moments when I can have something on my mind that I've got to be careful about distracting me while I'm trying to preach to you. That can happen. What does He say? You of little faith, verse 8. When you have fear of what you lack, it causes memory loss. You don't remember all I did. He says, how much was left over? How much was left over? You know, we kind of talk about having selective memory. Well, that's what fear and worry does. It makes us forget. It causes us to ignore what could be such great encouragement and comfort and contentment to us. He's saying, stop it. Why would you worry? But you be careful that you don't miss the point of a sermon in this sermon tonight. He's not here in your midst in the same way, though he is powerfully by the Spirit. You're not looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in your midst right now. This man has never provided for you abundantly out of very little. So make sure that you listen to Jesus Christ speaking to you from heaven and don't miss the point because you prefer to worry. Prefer to forget in fear. Replace your fear with more faith. Don't be distracted by difficulties so that you forget Matthew 13, verse 33. And I would encourage you all, we as a little church, let's not be distracted with worry about what might be or what might not be. Let's turn back to Matthew 13, verse 33. There's a certain kind of leaven that we should be looking to be affected by. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So see, the kingdom of heaven can have the same effect. More faith will affect more comfort, more joy, more growth, more ability to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. Don't let the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees infect you. Rather, be looking to have more of the leaven of heaven, leaven of the kingdom of heaven. And remember all these parables. We looked at the whole chapter at that time together in one sermon. Don't forget what he says. It's like a little leaven. It's going to leaven the whole lump. The kingdom of heaven will be successful. It will have its own growth. It will infect and take over the world. It will be like that little mustard seed. It will turn into a tree. It will provide shade. It'll be the biggest tree in the garden, and birds will find rest in its branches. Oh, we need to remember that. That was just a little while ago, but we can tend to be so afraid. We think we don't see anything happening, and we're ready to book. We're ready to give up. Perhaps there's a little bit of a danger of that fear every year about this time. But think back over the last few years, and hasn't every year the Lord done something amazing for us? Whether it's our finances, whether it's sending people to us right at a time that we didn't expect, the Lord is always doing something. Every year he is doing something. And we need to remember, the kingdom of heaven, the leaven of the kingdom of heaven is producing, it is developing, it's just the kind of thing that you don't always notice. But it's happening. Think on that. Have faith in that. Be encouraged by that and keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. And remember Lot's wife. Focus on the good leaven of heaven so you can recognize dangerous leaven when you see it. Pay attention to what false teachers say, so you avoid their hellish effect. Pay attention to what Jesus says, so you have his heavenly effect. And pay attention to what false teachers say, so you avoid their hellish effect. Again, what is leaven? It's yeast. The kingdom of heaven leaven is great to consider because it's going to work through. It's going to have its effect. It's going to keep working through. But the danger, and usually the scriptures, when they speak of leaven, they warn of the bad leaven. Watch out for the bad leaven of false teachers because it has its own working property. It has its ability to infect the way people think. It has the way to change people's beliefs. And then the next thing you know, they're denying all kinds of basic doctrines. This is church history. This is why we have a confession and catechisms. Mostly they began in the early church to teach against heresy, where they were constantly teaching against the Trinity, and they were constantly teaching against the deity of Christ or the humanity of Christ. Or the fullness of deity and the fullness of humanity in Christ. So we have our standards to protect us. Because that stuff starts to make you think and question all kinds of doctrine. And then practices. Jesus is warning against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees as having that same kind of effect in the church. What is he recognizing? I mean, what's most of this gospel story as we've been going? The Pharisees and the scribes and now the Sadducees are just following him everywhere, trying to take him out. And look at the powerful effect they're having, that they already have. I mean, they are the religious leaders. They're the seminary professors. They are the well-known pastors. They could speak no wrong. They've established their traditions and their ways, and no one ought to question them. So when Jesus questions them, they want to kill him. They already have an amazing stranglehold on the world. You're going to see especially how much he wants to talk about that in Matthew chapter 23. They have this dangerous effect with their teachings, which leads them to unbelief and exclusion from the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 12, the last verse of our text this evening. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Notice the doctrine, or what could be translated teaching. The doctrine or the teaching, that is the false doctrine. The false teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is what he's warning about. The leaven is false teaching. And you know, if you start to pay attention to places that are teaching bad doctrine, you usually find other bad doctrines. This is why the Puritans are trying to be pure about everything. And it doesn't mean they don't have diversity of thought. It doesn't mean there was agreement on everything. And even our Westminster standards were done in a way to allow some diversity of opinion and thinking and growth. But the most important things were written down. And when you start to learn about somebody who has a certain particular doctrine that's off, you're usually going to find other things that are off. And they're usually going to see their disciples take it to a whole different place that's much worse. Matthew Henry would have us understand what is the leaven, the bad teaching of the Pharisees, and what is the bad teaching of the Sadducees. The Pharisees, he says, is essentially pretending devotion, but it's really only to their own rules. The Pharisees are pretending devotion, but only to their own rules, not real dedicated devotion to God and the divine precepts. And he says, the Sadducees, they're also pretending. What are they pretending? An impartial search after truth. Oh, that sounds like many a college professor today. And sadly, many a seminary professor today, the higher you go, I'll hear people talk about it. It's difficult. You always have to be trying to come up with something new for a doctoral dissertation. That's dangerous. I appreciated my mentor, who is now a doctor, wanting to work with something that's been done. Pretending an impartial truth. Well, I just am wanting to be unbiased, and I'm going to consider what the world has to say about the scripture. And you know, you get to the point where so many professors in seminaries today, liberal seminaries, they teach us that so much of this scripture is not really the original, and it's not really from God. And is it really such a stretch to say that, from saying that as saying that the word of God that we have, that our confession says has been preserved through all generations, the original Greek, is it really such a stretch to say, if you're going to say that we didn't have some of these scriptures until they were found in one wastebasket? Another one nobody's been able to see, if they're Protestant. I mean, is it really such a stretch to get to the point where we start to question the scriptures all over the place? And that is what happens, to the point where there's always a cultural out, right? There's always a way to explain the culture. You have to understand the culture. That's where we get the new perspective on Paul, and not the plain meaning of the text. As it is written, thus saith the Lord. This feigned objectivity that doesn't exist. That's what the Sadducees are. Now remember, they denied the resurrection. The only reason the Pharisees and the Sadducees are coming together here is to try to take out the Lord Jesus Christ. They're usually at odds with each other. Pharisees believed in the resurrection, the afterlife, not the Sadducees. They're too educated to believe something like that. We could argue creationism, right? How many colleges, Christian colleges, have brought in the idea of evolution? Beware. Because when you start to believe in evolution, you start to try to make it fit in Scripture if you're going to pretend you're a believer. And then the next thing you know, this becomes a common thing that we are supposed to tolerate in all, even Reformed churches today. There are debates, I've seen them on the floor. The plain meaning of Scripture. And this doctrine of evolution that really teaches that there is no God, and there is no plan, and there is no purpose, and it's all by chance, and there is no providence. And we'll start to listen to these things enough that we let them infect us, and then we try to make a place, and then we start questioning whether Adam and Eve even existed, which is amazing how much that's discussed. Is it any surprise that we question whether Jesus existed and whether there really was a resurrection and whether there really will be another general resurrection? People often teach that the resurrection, like Bardian, is this spiritual coming to an understanding of things by your own experience, but there's no literal resurrection. I mean, these are doctrines that have been taught not so long ago. And so many modern church movements are not so very different. They just put a different label on it, but they get to the same place, and they're having such a profound effect to the point where we really don't believe the Word of God. We barely read it. We don't really believe it that much, and we certainly don't obey it that much because we bring it down so very down, and we bring the Lord Jesus Christ so very low before us. Jesus is warning about this. Charles Spurgeon would talk about it this way, and this would be, I think, even easier for memorization, just for a reference point. He's saying that Jesus is warning about the Pharisees because of their ritualism. They are all about what they did, but it wasn't what God said to do. And often it would bring down and bring lower what God said to do. Watch out for the Pharisees' ritualism. And Spurgeon would say, watch out for the Sadducees' rationalism. I can't believe that. That just doesn't seem rational to me, how that could possibly be. So how many people are going to rule out the possibility of miracles in the Scriptures? That just doesn't seem rational to me. Well, it is rational if you understand God can do anything. So Jesus is warning, watch out for the Pharisees' ritualism. Watch out for the Sadducees' rationalism. Watch out for their false teaching. Turn back with me to Matthew 15 at verse 2. We're going to remember what Jesus has on his mind as he's there looking at the bread, and he's thinking about what just happened a few times. He's thinking about what we've been reading about the last few chapters, in particular as his reference. Most recently, that they just flat out wouldn't acknowledge he's the Messiah and were trying to trap him, and he wouldn't tolerate it. He is the sign from heaven, and they don't recognize he is the sign of the times. He moves on. He's thinking about that. He's recognizing how vulnerable his disciples are, how much he has to warn them to be careful not to be influenced by them and their false teaching. Again, verse 12 of chapter 16 helps us understand. Christ says, what I'm warning you about with the leaven is their teaching, their false doctrines. Well, let's review where he was challenging them this a little while ago. Chapter 15, to begin, verse 2. Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, they ask? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread, the Pharisees are asking Jesus. Hey, they're not keeping our traditions, our teachings. Verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You could understand that as your teaching. Verse 16, and Jesus said, verse 6 that should be, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now you see, this is what he's really warning about. You're making your teachings, your own teachings that you've made up, your traditions, you're making them the rules of God's people, and you're just getting rid of God's rules, God's scriptural rules. Look at verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, that's what he's warning about again tonight. Watch out for that. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So many commandments, so many rules that people will put on our consciences and not let us have liberty in worship or in life. Having us focus on those things as if that is Christianity. As if that is being a Christian. And really having little interest in what God's word actually says. How it might challenge such a tradition. And Jesus is saying, watch out. Watch out. The next thing you know, you become legalists, true legalists. Next thing you know, you become works righteousness. The next thing you know, there's no grace, only slavery. Remember the Sermon on the Mount, same thing. Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees, the scribes. He's criticizing them for bringing down God's law to exalt and raise up their own religious rules. Watch out for this, he says, because it's like leaven. They affected the entire life of the church at their time. They were running the church. They were running the thinking of the church, and they were keeping people from Christ, and they were especially trying to keep people from Christ still, more and more. You want to recognize where we are in the gospel right now. Remember, there's sections, and we're in the section of rejection. The beginning of the gospel of Matthew is the proclamation of the king. The next section is the power of the king shown. But now we're getting into that rejection of the king, and it's getting worse and worse until they will crucify him. He's saying, watch out for that. So Paul warns in Galatians 5, verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, ultimately, the bad leaven, the danger of the bad leaven, is that it causes the loaf of bread and all its parts in the end to not make it through the end. Again, what was on Jesus' mind in particular? What did we just see? They completely denied him as the sign from heaven. They denied him as the bread of life sent from heaven, the manna sent from the Father. They denied it, and they would continue to deny it. They just missed his sign. And the danger is anyone who follows such doctrine will be just like them, unbelievers, and unsaved. They won't believe in Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as the Messiah, and as their good shepherd. They won't believe on him. Instead, they'll seek to crucify him. This is the danger of Pharisaical ritualism. This is the danger of the Sadducees' rationalism. This is the danger of false doctrine. If you do not believe the correct doctrine about Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell. And Satan will often creep in and redirect people, redirect the church, through people coming in and distracting them with something that sort of sounds good and keeps them focused over here, and they miss the true teachings of the scriptures to the point that they don't know the scriptures. They don't know the truth, but it's the truth that will set them free. The devil is seductive. He is a liar. And he's really good at trickery. And so Jesus says, take heed, beware, take heed. A double warning, take heed, beware. That is, pay attention to avoid false doctrines and infection, because of how it will grow and where it will go with you. The message tonight, pay attention to avoid infection. Pay attention to Jesus and what he's teaching. Pay attention to what the false teachers are teaching and watch out. Pay attention to avoid infection. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would help us to know your truth and to be sanctified by your truth, which is your word. We pray that you would help us to pay attention, to recognize when people are teaching us false things for their own purposes, as the scriptures warn elsewhere, to make a marketplace of us, to make money off of us. Lord, help us to pay attention and to recognize when it is false doctrine, when it contradicts your word. Let us not be willing to listen. Rather, let us pay attention to you. Let us remember by faith what you have done and what you say you will do, what you are doing. Oh, Lord, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Help us, Lord. Bring us away from distractions and bring us closer to you and your word. Give us your word, oh, Lord. Let us eat and drink of it. Let us take of it regularly. Let us learn from you that we would not have a bad influence that starts to work itself all through us to the point that we don't listen to you and we don't believe you. And if we would still believe you truly for heaven, we would have hell on this earth until we get there. Oh, Lord God, let us believe you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to pay attention to you. Help us not to get distracted by what we might think we lack, by worrisome thoughts that you perceive and you always say, as you did in Matthew 6, ye of little faith, stop worrying. Read my word and block out Satan's tongue. So, Lord, let us do this and bless us with your comfort and peace. Oh, God, give us understanding, we pray, of what you have spoken tonight. Lift us up. Clear our minds. Help us to think your thoughts after you, for they are good and holy and righteous and true. Let God be true in our lives, and every man a liar. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to ignore the influence of ritualism and rationalism, and give ourselves to the true religion of the Son of Man, the manifestation of life and eternal life from God and the Father in heaven. And let us have fellowship with you and be refreshed and strengthened. And may that include, as we soon will partake of the Lord's Supper, this communion, this fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Clear our minds, O Lord, and fill them with your truth. Help us to pay attention, that we would not be infected by false doctrine, that you would keep us clean in our minds, right in our eyes, with our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, in our ears listening to every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and all your people said, Amen.